and sisters, it's time to open the Word of the Lord, and we're going to read together from the book of John, chapter 6. The book of John, chapter 6. And we're going to read from verse 25 to 59. I am the bread of life. John chapter 6 from verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set the seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So they said to him, Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, I'm the bread that come down from heaven. They said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I've come down from heaven? Jesus answered him, Do not grumble amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whomever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, Not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. So far the reading from God's word. Brothers and sisters, the title of the sermon is The Bread of Life. And the theme is that if you do believe in Jesus as the bread of life, you have eternal life. It has been said many, many times that the way into a man's heart is through his stomach. This truth probably depends on how much a man loves food and how good a cook his wife is. The expression obviously explains to us the value we place on food. No doubt, most of us would have had breakfast this morning. And after the service this morning, we will have lunch. And probably something small to nibble on tonight. This is the pattern of life. We need food. This pattern will be repeated day after day after day till we eventually pass on. Food is important to us. In some cultures, it defines who we are. It is also important to us because we need it. Our bodies need the refreshing of it, the sustenance of it, and if we don't eat it, I know some people that become very grumpy when they're hungry. We appreciate food. Okay, it tastes good. And if we get a special or a bargain and good value for money, we even appreciate it more. And what's more is that if we get a free meal, now that's a bargain. A free lunch. And this is where John picks up this morning in this passage. The Israelites just had a free lunch the previous day. As you know from the previous chapter, the Lord fed 5,000 people with barley loaves and fish. The Lord used a young boy's packed lunch to feed 5,000 people. Verse 26. Jesus now uses this opportunity to speak to the people about who he was. As we've read, the Lord said to them, "You came to me today, not because of the miracles that I do, but because you had a feed yesterday." So what does the Lord do the next day? He doesn't feed them again. No. The Lord gives them the spiritual message. And this is the theme that we are going to explore. In the book of John, John tells them about a miracle of the Lord, and then John goes in, connects to the miracle, always a short sermon. If you look at the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's like a kayaker paddling down a river from one story to another, fast-flowing river. But John takes a different approach. John takes the seven miracles and also through the miracle connect a small, short sermon of the Lord to it. So the structure is a little bit different. So let's focus on four things this morning. Four things that John wants us to look at. The first one is that we need more than just spiritual food. Jesus tried to explain it to them. I don't know whether you've, in the passage as we were reading it, how at length Jesus went to explain to them, you need more than just physical food. And the reason for it is that the Israelites were looking for the promised Messiah. And they thought he would bring physical and political and material well-being to Israel. They were not looking for the promised Messiah from a spiritual perspective. They thought the Messiah would bring them food for their stomachs, and bring them independence from the cruel Roman Empire. They thought the kingdom of the Messiah would bring them all the freedom that they wanted as the people of God. They referred back to Moses, one of their great heroes, and said, and we've read it in 30 to 31, "What will you give us? What miraculous sign will you do so that we can compare you with our greatest leader that we've had, Moses? What can you do? Moses fed 1 million people in the desert for 40 years. You've only fed 5,000 people for one day. Really? What miracle can you show us?" So the comparison with Moses can be very easily misconstrued. They were looking for a physical outcome, where the Lord, through the parable, through the miracle, focused on spiritual outcomes. Jesus was at length to remind them that Moses was not the person who supplied the bread, but the Father that was in heaven, verse 27. The Lord knows that we need food to eat, verse 27, but He also knows that we need food for our soul. It's the same in our society today, isn't it? We live in a country that is materially so rich. We are preoccupied with work, with sport, with recreation. We are preoccupied how much money we can get, where we can get it, how much we can accumulate. We are preoccupied in this life with maybe how much we can get out of the government if we are a bit more lazy than others. We are expecting happiness to come from material possessions. We may even go to the extreme to participate in extreme sports and go for that adrenaline rush because it makes us feel excited. But all these things are of zero spiritual significance. All these things will not satisfy the spiritual hunger and longing that we have for God. There is more to life than eating and drinking, working, sleeping, sports, and exciting activities. We were created first and foremost to have a relationship with God. The writer of Ecclesiastes tells us that God has set eternity in the minds of men. Ecclesiastes 3:11. There is a vacuum in your heart that only God can fill. God wants us to find meaning and purpose and fulfillment in a relationship with Him. Not with physical food, our careers, our hobbies, our sports, or the exciting activities that we complete. We are nothing without a relationship with God. We only then exist. This brings us to the second point, that we need the bread of life. When Jesus spoke about the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, the Jewish crowds responded, "Give us this bread." And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." This is the first of the seven I am statements recorded for us in the book of John. Nowhere else in the other Gospels do we have the I am statements recorded. And in all these instances, the Lord Jesus compares Himself to something physical. And in this instance, the Lord compared Himself to bread. Now, bread in the Old Testament, in the New Testament times, were a staple food. It was common. It was normal. It's a primary food group. It's not expensive, and it's not unusual. Most of us today eat bread. It is nourishing and satisfying. And I don't know about you, when the fresh bread comes out of the oven, oh, how I would look forward to have a slice or two or three. And this is what Jesus is saying about it. I am not unusual. I am your staple food. I am primary food that you have to take in. I am nourishing and satisfying. Are you looking forward to enjoying me? The Lord says to us that He can feed us spiritually. He can nourish our souls. He can fulfill us, all our spiritual longings. In this statement, Jesus looked back to the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. You need more than physical bread. We need the Word of God, which is Jesus Himself. Just as bread can satisfy our physical emptiness, so Jesus is the only one that can satisfy our spiritual emptiness. You know, and I know, that there are many other religions and people who claim the same statement, that they hold the spiritual truth. We live in a multicultural and ethnic diverse society today. In New Zealand, there are over 200 ethnic groups represented by language and their religions. The government presented the draft for a national statement on religious diversity. In this, they state that New Zealand has no formal state religion. It is true that our country is becoming more diverse, and more pagan religions are coming into New Zealand. On top of all of this, we still have huge spirituality groups. People who are mediums, palmists, astrologers, clairvoyants, and you look at their advertisements on television, in the newspapers, and there are even programs on television proclaiming their so-called gifts. We are told we can see our future in things like graphology, aura photography, head massage, kinesiology, hypnotherapy, etc. Some of that I can't even pronounce properly. This is postmodern spirituality, which is actually a revival of ancient paganism. There's nothing new under the sun. 20 centuries ago, in the first century AD, Jesus lived in the world of the ultimate paganism. All the gods and goddesses, all the idols and all the nations were well known and centered in the Middle East. And yet, he stood up and in the face of all these paganisms and religions, he stood up and said, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." To make sure that everybody understands it, in the Greek passage, it actually reads, I am the bread of life. It's duplicated so that more emphasis is being placed on the I. No one can meet our longing for God except the Lord Jesus Christ. In another I am statement, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Today, brothers and sisters, this is a politically incorrect statement to make. The world will look at you and to me when we make the statement and say, "Oh, we are so intolerant towards the other so-called religions." But the Lord Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, made the statement amongst all the pagan religions of the time. And he still makes that statement today through his word to us, amongst all the pagan religions that we find amongst us. Nothing has changed in the last 2,000 years. He makes the statement today as he made the statement 2,000 years ago. Nothing has changed. The Lord still is the great I am. This brings us to the third thing that we notice. We need to eat this bread. This is how Jesus puts it in verses 51 to 56. It's very literal, very graphic, and very realistic. We use the language devouring a book, drinking in a lecture, swallowing a story, eating our words, chewing on a matter, or taking in a sermon. Jesus spoke about eating this bread of life in strongly physical terms, especially in verse 51b, where he said, "This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." The Jews did not understand what he meant, but we know that Jesus was talking about his death and resurrection. We know that Jesus gave the body of his flesh as a sacrifice for sin. He laid down his life for all of us. His language in verse 53 is even stronger. "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Yeah, it's not more than just a mere awareness, more than just a knowledge of the Lord. We have to participate in eating and drinking the flesh of the Lord, flesh and the blood of the Lord. The Lord was not describing the Lord's Supper here. His words are not the institution of the Lord's the sacrament. But the Lord's Supper does reflect back for us and look back at the words that the Lord Jesus uttered here. Of course, we do not eat the flesh of Jesus. And of course, we do not drink his blood. The bread and wine remain bread and wine. They are symbols and pictures and illustrations of his body. But they remind us that we share in the benefits of his death and the resurrection by believing in him. Jesus used this language of eating and drinking to describe faith. He doesn't want you just to taste it, or just to nibble on the truth. No, he wants us to eat and drink of him through faith. Where must take him in? Where must appropriate Christ? We must be united with him through faith so that he becomes part of us and we become part of him. Faith in the Lord Jesus means that we know who he is, the Son of God who came to die so that we may have life. Faith means that we are convinced of everything that's in Scripture that it is true. Faith means that we are committed to Christ, that we trust him, that we rely on him. Faith means that we believe that he died on the cross for our sins and that he rose from the dead to free you from the fear of death and the grip of Satan. Jesus invites everyone to believe in him. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Jesus declares this to everyone. It is available to anyone. It is available to you, to me, whether you're young or old, whether you've been in church for a long time or have come only recently. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you eaten and drunk of him? Have you come to him for life? Do you look to him for your salvation? If you do believe in the Lord Jesus, then he makes us an amazing promise. We will live forever. He has promised eternal life to those that believe in him. Verse 27. Work, he said, for food that endures to eternal life. Verse 40. Everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 47. I tell you the truth. He who believes has eternal life. Verse 58. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever. Brothers and sisters, do we eat this food? Do we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? It is hard to grasp, but it is true. It boggles the mind, but this is what the Bible teaches us. There is only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Eating this bread will satisfy you. If you eat ordinary bread, you will soon feel hungry again. And you'll want to eat more of the bread. The pattern goes on a few times a day, many days a week, till the day we die. But when we eat from the bread of Christ, what he offers us, we will be properly satisfied. Jesus will provide in all our needs. He will comfort us. He will provide for us. He will fulfill the longings of our souls. He will satisfy our spiritual appetites. He will meet our greatest desires. And those promises last forever. The flesh that the Lord gives us, the bread of life, lasts forever. This Moses prayed of in Psalm 90. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Verse 14. The Lord promises this for us in Psalm 81. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. Verse 16. The Lord Jesus promises to satisfy us with eternal life if we feed on him. The Lord prayed to his Father, remember? Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. John 17:3. Eternal life is knowing God through his Son. This is what Jesus was getting at when he talked about eating and drinking of him. He described a living faith in him, a deep communion with him, a close relationship with him. This is the goal of our spiritual eating. Compare this with physical eating. Eating food is enjoyable, but we don't eat only for the enjoyment of it. We eat because it gives us life, energy, and sustains our lives. In the same way, we don't read the Bible or pray just because we enjoy it. Bible reading, prayer and worship are not ends in themselves. No. We read the Bible to get to know Christ. We pray so that we might worship God and live closer to Him. We meditate on God's Word so that Christ might dwell in our hearts through faith. We memorize it so that the Holy Spirit can impress it on our hearts and minds and so draw us closer to Him. A.W. Tozer wrote that the Bible is but a means to bring men to an intimate and satisfying knowledge of God, that they may enter into Him, that they may delight in His presence, may taste and know the inner sweetness of the very God Himself in the core and center of their hearts. Do you know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent? Are you eating from Jesus, who is the living bread, who came down from heaven to give life to the world? If you are, then let us encourage one another to keep on eating from the Lord. Let us seek opportunities to feed together and individually on the Lord. But what if you realize today that you have changed your diet and you are no longer feeding of the living bread? Go and seek the Lord earnestly in prayer. Ask someone to pray for you or with you. Dust off the Bible on your bookshelf. Seek to attend Bible studies and fellowship meetings. Know this: God is faithful and just, slow to anger and abounding in love. Brothers and sisters, there's only one way. It's feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ. May we all find our satisfaction and our life in that bread of life. Amen. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us the bread of life that we may live. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning afresh that You'll create within us a huge hunger to feast more on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Heavenly Father, give us a hunger for all of us that we will seek to fill all of our existence and being with the marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, help us all to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to lift up the feeble hands. Yes, Lord, to encourage one another to look towards the Lord Jesus Christ for everything that we need, whether it's physical, material, or spiritual. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful promise it is that for those that believe, that feed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they will live forever. Heavenly Father, we as a people acknowledge this morning, Lord, that our lives can be filled with all kinds of other nonsense. Yes, Lord, things that we may think important, but in the big scheme of all eternity, Lord, is meaningless. Help us to identify those things, Lord, and cut it out, Lord, and replace those meaningless activities with the worship of Your name, the study of Your scriptures, and the meeting of Your people. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our physician that will cut out and that will heal and repair. Lord, and we ask that wherever we are on a diet of wrong food, that the Lord will place us back, put us back to feast at His table. Heavenly Father, hear our prayer this morning as we glorify and thank You for the bread of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We will ask Franz to do the collection for us and bring the offertory bread, after which we will sing number 466. Number 466. Where we will, in actual fact, it's a prayer, where we will sing to the Lord that He will feed us with the bread of heaven. So we want no more.